Would like to ask you to turn back tonight to Daniel chapter 2. And I would just like to reiterate what Brother Benny just mentioned with a little bit of a personal story. Not very, very long after Gail and I had moved and we had left a church that we'd been going to for a number of years, the pastor ran over a little girl. And she, as it turned out, was okay, but it was a very upsetting thing for him. He didn't see her, and it was a very upsetting thing, of course, for her parents. These little children are not watching out for us, that's for sure. And so we need to watch out for them. They love to dart up here to the mountain, and it's kind of dark in that area. So I'm so glad Brother Benny mentioned that. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and faithfulness and mercy. We have already heard tremendous messages in song tonight, and we thank you for that. We pray that you would help us to see the world through your eyes. We pray that you would help us to rejoice in the fact that you do break the power of canceled sin. You set the prisoner free. Your blood can make the foulest clean. Your blood has availed for each one here tonight who knows you as their Savior. You've saved to the uttermost all who come to God by you. We thank you for that great salvation. And we ask tonight that you would help us as we look into your word. We pray for those who are sick, and there's a number who are battling with this flu and these associated things. We pray that you would touch them and raise them up and strengthen them. We ask that you would bless our time together, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, like last week, I got a little sidetracked and went down a little trail, a little rabbit trail, and I didn't get back up the trail in time to finish the thoughts that we had started. And so for a few minutes tonight, I want to give you the last part of the message from this morning. Sometimes it's good to do that while things are still somewhat on people's minds. We were going through this list of advisors, probably a little bit of a kind word to use for these people that Nebuchadnezzar called. And we had made it in verse 2 to the astrologers. And we wanted to make the distinction between astronomers and astrologers. They aren't the same. The Babylonians, it would seem, from their history at least, we talked about the 360 years of very meticulous astronomical records that they kept. We talked about how they were able to calculate with very good accuracy, 99.7%, the length of the solar year. And so it would seem, at least, that they began as astronomers. They began by studying the stars and the other heavenly bodies. They began by studying the motions of the planets in the solar system. And as they studied the stars, they no doubt saw Pleiades and Orion and Arcturus. They no doubt saw Maseroth, the 12 signs of the zodiac, and the constellations that are associated with them. These astronomers saw the glory of God, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, as we saw this morning in just two of the signs of the zodiac, Virgo and Libra. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shined unto them as it was declared by the heavens. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world were clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. But these astronomers rejected the message of creation. And I want to remind you of something that I believe suggests that they turn their backs on the message of creation. In an earlier message, we looked in chapter 1 at the names of the four children of Judah, Daniel and Mishael and Azariah and Hananiah. We talked about all four of them, but I just want to mention to you again the names of Daniel and Mishael, because they end in the letters E-L. That E-L ending is a reference to God. That E-L ending is a shortened form of the name Elohim. And the name Elohim is the first name of God that we find in the Bible. We find it in the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The first name of God in the very first verse of the Bible is Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Elohim is the creator. And that E-L ending in Daniel and Mishael's name was a testimony to him. It was a testimony to the Creator. And they could not have that in Babylon. They could not have that name. They could not have that reference to the Creator there in Babylon or in the Babylonian school system. And so they changed the names of Daniel and Mishael. And it's a reminder as we see that. As we see that animosity toward the Creator and toward the message of creation. It's a reminder that when these Babylonians knew God, when they saw the message that goes out through all the earth in the heavens, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. These men looked up into the heavens and they were faced with a decision. Creation or evolution? Creator or creature? And these Babylonian astronomers chose evolution. They chose the creature. They changed the truth of God, the Maseroth, the 12 signs of the zodiac, the message of the person and work of Christ into a lie. The lie of astrology. Astrology is the study of how the sun and the moon and the planets and the stars can supposedly be used to divine or predict what will happen in the lives of people, what will take place in the affairs of nations by the positions and the movements of these heavenly bodies. That's what astrology is. A lot of people won't leave their house today unless they check their horoscope. They won't do certain things. They won't buy or sell or make investments. Or they're governed because they believe that the stars and these, the planets, the movements of these things can be used to divine what will happen in their lives. These Babylonian astronomers became astrologers. This book, the Word of God, condemns astrology. I'd like for you to keep your place here and turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God warns his people against idolatry. He warns them against corrupting themselves by making graven images. And we want to notice what he tells them. Let's read it verse 15. Let's read it verse 14 to pick up the context. Moses says, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth." And so, we're not to make idols out of these things. But notice verse 19. "And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven." Now, that's an amazing verse. Stop and think about it. God has given the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, unto all nations under the whole heaven. But that's exactly what Psalm 19 and verse 3 says. Psalm 19 begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." And then verse 3 says, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." And that's exactly what this verse 19 is telling us. God has divided the sun and the moon unto all nations. All of these, the host of heaven, unto all nations of the earth. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The warning here to the people of God Indeed, the warning to all nations under the whole heaven is, do not worship the creation. Worship the one whose glories it declares. Worship the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Astrology is the worship of the creation. It's the worship, if you will, of the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven. That's what the Babylonian astronomers did. They rejected the worship of Elohim. They rejected the Creator. They changed the truth of God into a lie, the lie of astrology. And they worshiped the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven. They worshiped and served the creature. They worshiped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And this is the group. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 1 again. This is the group, these astrologers, these diviners of all the host of heaven. This is the group that Nebuchadnezzar calls to come and show him his dream. A sad thing when a nation comes to the point where they reject the Creator and they reject the teaching of creation. It's exactly what's happened here in the United States. We've rejected the Creator. And we've rejected the teaching of creation. People even protest trying to teach intelligent design. Always looked at that, and it is it's not a bad term, intelligent design, but I always kind of thought of it as a backdoor way of trying to get creation into the schools. And they're not interested in that. We've seen the video here a number of times, The Privileged Planet, and it talks in great detail how this planet is a miracle. It's the place in all the universe where God has put life. It's the place in all the universe that can support life because of how it's tilted on its axis and because of its position from the sun. We can't teach these things in the public schools. They're left, students are left to the despair of believing that all of that just happened to come by chance. That we just happened to be tilted 23.5 degrees on our axis. And we just happened to be 93 million miles from the sun. We just happened to be this place where the temperature was exactly right and the air was exactly right to sustain life. Just happened to be that way. When we think about this word astrologers, we're looking at people who have degenerated, who have turned away from the truth of God. And it's a reminder to us of the condition of our country tonight. But that group is made up of other people. And I believe that these other people were also called by Nebuchadnezzar. The word astrologer doesn't just refer to those who are trying to divine or predict the future by the host of heaven. If you look that word up, you also find that it means necromancer. A necromancer is one who inquires of the dead. It also means, if you look it up, it also means exorcist. Someone that casts out evil spirits by rituals and enchantments. So when we see this word astrologer, it includes a number of different people, a number of different beliefs, I guess we could use that word. And they were all there. Nebuchadnezzar brought them all in. He brought in the sorcerers. Sorcerer means witch. It means witchcraft. Sorcerer is someone who uses and practices witchcraft. So he brought those people in. And he brought in the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were the intellectuals. The Chaldeans were the wise ones. They were the ones who had been trained in the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. They were the professors and the teachers, the humanists, the secular humanists. And it's interesting to me that the Chaldeans were the one who did the talking. Look at verse 4. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king. Verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans. Verse 7, they, the Chaldeans, answered again and said. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said. The Chaldeans did the talking. I think that suggests that they were the ones who were in charge. The magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers were under the Chaldeans, a branch of the Chaldeans, if you will. And I believe that the Spirit of God is telling us that He wants us to see that. He wants to teach us about something that's very relevant today as we look at this second verse. Something that's relevant to us in this hour. People like you and I that are living in Babylon. The magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers were just different branches of the Chaldeans. They were just different divisions, different sects, different classification of the same group. What you have are these different branches, these different divisions, these different classifications, but they're all under one main group, the Chaldeans. They're all aspects of the same thing. At the top, you have the Chaldeans. And within that group, you have the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers. It's like that in Babylon today. Overall, you have the secular humanists. You have secular humanism. And under the secular humanists, you have the different branches. Branches like the occult, necromancy, people who inquire of the dead, people who try to contact their spirit guides. That goes on today. There's a branch for the exorcist, a branch for the astrologers, the horoscope, the signs of the zodiac, the psychics. The psychic hotlines. It's interesting to ride down the road, take a trip, and interesting to see how many places you pass. There's a house. Some of them very nice houses. And out in the front of the house, there's a sign that says psychic. Psychic. Somebody that you can stop in and supposedly they'll tell you the future. There's all kinds of 800 numbers that you can dial. There's a branch for the meditators of our day. The witches. The warlocks. Witchcraft and spells and enchantments. Sometimes we think, oh, those things don't really exist. They do exist. I typed in the word psychics on my computer this afternoon, and 12,700,000 results popped up according to Google. And page after page after page, type in the word witch. Google says there's 158 million results. Type in the word witchcraft. Google says there's 26 million results. Those things are alive and well today. all of these different branches, all of these different areas, but when you look at them the way God's Word looks at them, the way we find them here in the Word of God, they're all aspects. They're all branches of the same thing. And that's humanism. That's what's on top. That's what's in charge. That's what's doing the talking here in Babylon. It's what's doing the talking in this country today. No difference between Babylon here and Babylon now. Nebuchadnezzar, as we talked about this morning, was asking one of the critical questions of life. Where am I going? What should come to pass hereafter? And the first place that he turned for the answer to that question was humanism. Humanism in all of its forms. You have to admit, he covered his bases. He's got all of these variations before him. But no matter who he brought, there was no answer. Look at verse 27 here. Daniel had a sense of humor and a bit of sarcasm, if you will, spiritual sarcasm, of course. What he says here, he said in the name of the Lord. But it was well placed. The king, look at verse 26. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king?" I have to chuckle when I read that. Daniel's saying, "What's the matter with the boys here? Can't they tell you anything?" And of course, they couldn't. Because humanism has no answers. Evolution has no answers. There's only one place to find the answers to the big questions, to the critical questions of life. It's there in verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." And then Daniel gives him the interpretation. He answers his question. The Lord had the answer. He has the answer to your questions tonight. And the answer is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God in heaven who came to earth. God in heaven that revealeth secrets. God in heaven stepped out of eternity and into time. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and He took our sin upon Himself. He shed His blood as the payment for our sin. He went to the cross to answer that question, "Where am I going?" He went to the cross to answer that question, "What should come to pass hereafter?" God's answer is an expected end. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That really was what Nebuchadnezzar was asking about. What shall come to pass hereafter? What's going to be my end? God wants to give you tonight an expected end. And you can have an expected end tonight. If you're willing to humble your heart and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trust Him to be your Savior. If we're saved tonight and we have an expected end, then we need to live in the light of that. We need to give the Lord Jesus Christ our reasonable service. Our reasonable service. In the light of the expected end that He's provided for us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the opportunities that You give us to study it. We thank You for the treasures that are contained here. Thank You how this precious book fits together perfectly around one person, the Creator, the God of all eternity. And His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. We thank You for Him tonight. We pray that if we know Him, that we'll walk with Him and serve Him. That will be our desire in this new year. To live in this Babylon as Daniel and his three friends lived in Babylon of old. And Father, for those who are lost, we pray that You might speak to their hearts. Show them how close we are to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in His name. Amen.